SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Tuesday. Kev, hope you're having a great morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope you as well, all those watching and listening. I'm excited to get into it. A lot going on here on a Tuesday.
Yeah, lots to get to. So let's start off with our 7-7 top headline. Anthony Davis's block seals the win over the Nuggets. In his third game back on the court, AD leads the Los Angeles Lakers with 25 points. Lakers halt a three-game losing skid with a 93-89 win over Denver. Kev, are the Lakers back?
I think so. AD was telling KCP after the game, they're back. It is funny because I know some people were probably laughing a little bit like, oh, here we go with the Lakers. They're being dramatic. But at the end of the day, one, a lot of people were running around and puffing their chests out with some pretty anti-Laker takes that they were quite confident. And two, all that really matters is that they believe that they're back. They were quite down on themselves after the loss to the Raptors. They got a lot of confidence with that win against Denver last night.
Yeah, and I can't wait to talk about how LeBron is basically crying about the play-in tournament, but we'll talk about that later in the show. How about Russell Westbrook? He clinches his fourth triple-double of the season in a win over the Pacers. Westbrook posts 14 points, 21 rebounds, 24 assists. He is the only player to have multiple 20-20 games in NBA history.
Russ is incredible. I mean, what else can you say? He now has clinched his fourth season where he will average a triple-double. Again, when he did this the first time, he won an MVP for it. Now it's just normal. And what he's doing is contributing to winning. I know sometimes people have taken shots at Russ. It's stats over results. Well, they're marrying one another right now. In a game against the Pacers that had massive play-in implications, the Wizards hung a buck 54 on them in large part due to Russ's performance.
And we'll be breaking down all those games. And also in the NBA last night, Steph Curry's 41 points sinks the Pelicans' playoff hopes in the Warriors' 123-108 win. Curry hit 8 three-pointers, scoring 15 points of his 41 in a crucial third quarter. As Kevin has said multiple times throughout the show, single elimination, Steph, watch out.
Yeah, can't wait for it, really. And we're going to get it. He's going to be in the play-in. And also, look, when he and Draymond are clicking on all cylinders, they still have a little bit of that magic. Steph, of course, gets the headlines with his 41-8. But Draymond Green, 10 points, 15 assists, 13 rebounds, a plus 21. He was tremendous as well.
Of course. Now let's switch it to Major League Baseball. The Mets fired their hitting coaches just 23 games into the season after a 6-5 loss to the Cardinals. New York fired Davis and hitting coach Tom Slater. Now the Mets are still favored to win the NL East division on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, plus 115, but the Braves are creeping up there at plus 190. Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is the Mets have now scored 5 or more runs in 3 straight games before this firing, which is typically pretty good. I could be wrong, but I think a lot of this has to do with Francisco Lindor, who they gave that big contract to, getting out of the gates really slow. He is now 0 for his last 24, 5 straight games without a hit. And he wasn't doing all that well before this slump, batting a really difficult 163 on the season. I think perhaps Mets management trying to see if somebody can right Francisco Lindor.
And let's welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Now, the Dodgers have lost their top young starting pitcher, righty Dustin May, to Tommy John surgery. It was announced yesterday that he will have his ulnar collateral ligament repaired May 11th. The surgery will end his season and likely keep him out until the middle of 2022.
Yeah, really unfortunate. And it is something that has plagued baseball for a while now. The one thing you will say when you bring this back to the Dodgers and their futures odds is they are the team that is set to handle someone like Dustin May going down. Because most teams would have Dustin May, and you'd be talking about one of their top two starters. I mean, Dustin May is like their fifth starter. He's their fourth at best behind Bauer and Buehler and Kershaw. And Urias is right there with May. So an unfortunate blow for the Dodgers, but one that they can weather.
Yep, and let's switch it over to soccer. PSG and Manchester City look to advance to the Champions League finals. They're going to play each other today. Now, Manchester City is a favorite to win it all at minus 160. PSG would be a big upset, sitting at 10-1 to win it all. Now, Manchester City won the first leg of the semifinal 2-1. Again, these two are going to kick off their second leg today at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, really excited for this, though. Again, the Champions League right there towards the finish line. As you mentioned, today we'll start the final legs of the semifinals. Tomorrow will be Chelsea and Real Madrid. And a little bit in hour number two, we'll kind of break down some more of the storylines that enter this game. A lot on the line for City and Pep Guardiola, yeah, and PSG and Neymar as well, going to try to complete that comeback.
And the NFL draft wrapped up this weekend, but it was reported yesterday that the Vikings targeted Justin Fields in a potential trade-up before the Bears took him. Now, Kirk Cousins was aware of the situation. Chicago ended up surrendering its number 20 pick as well as its first, fourth, and fifth rounders in 2022 to move up to the Giants selection at number 11 and take Fields. Kev, hypothetically, this could have been a better outcome potentially for Fields.
Yeah, also could have been a better outcome for the Minnesota Vikings. If Justin Fields ends up being as good as some of us think, well, the Chicago Bears might have, yep, a franchise quarterback for a decade plus. The Vikings might be moving on from Kirk Cousins when this next season finishes.
Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We want to get into some NBA recap. So favorites and dogs split 4-4 straight up and against the spread last night with upsets by the Lakers, the Knicks, the Warriors, and the Magic. Unders 4-3-1. So we're going to recap our eight games that happened last night, starting off with the Pacers versus the Wizards. What a high-scoring game, Kev. Wizards win 154-141. Cover the spread over cashes. Wizards are hot, having won 11 of their last 13 games. We already talked about this in our top headline. Westbrook, 14 points, yeah, 21 rebounds, 24 assists. I mean, Washington had 9 players last night in double digits.
Yeah, the characters of this game, the players, matter a lot. But let's start with a little total talk here. I played an under in the first half of 127. I figure, you know what, at the end of the day, I'll be right around it. It's such a high total. And if they come out with anything that resembles, you know, playoff-ish intensity, we could be able to cash a ticket. With 3.5 minutes left, they cashed the first half over. And honestly, that wasn't even the worst of it. I mean, they ended up scoring 295 points in regulation. 295 points in regulation. It was incredible to watch these teams just fly up and down this court. The question, though, Aaron, that I was left wondering, when we get into our single elimination play-in games, how much, if at all, will these mirror some of the game sevens that we saw last year, mm-hmm, in the NBA playoffs? Because for those that remember, last year in the NBA playoffs, and historically, those game sevens, single elimination games, were so low scoring. I mean, teams hardly being able to touch 90, much less 100, much less 154. And I'm, mm-hmm, trying to figure out, because these teams are almost guaranteed to play each other in the 9-4 game, I'm trying to figure out what they're going to present from a scoring perspective.
And, I mean, you're talking about scoring so low. But, again, I feel that when we were watching the playoffs last year, it was so different due to COVID. I mean, we had players obviously not having anybody in the stands. They're in this bubble. So low scoring there. I don't know if that would basically equate to this year. I feel like anything that happened last season can be thrown out the window. And then come this season, it's also going to be interesting to see, obviously, if they can have fans in any capacity towards this playoff. But also, I mean, it just comes, you have to throw everything out when it comes to the playoffs this year as well. We had a guest on that house who said this in terms of betting. We're going to be talking a lot about how to bet against the spread, the total in terms of the games when we talk about these play-in rounds. But right now, when looking at the standings, we're having the Wizards in that number 10 spot. They are three games ahead of the Raptors. Then you have the Pacers. They're basically tied with the Wizards right now, holding that number 9 spot. Then the Hornets above, just one game ahead of the Pacers and Wizards. Celtics, 34-31, three games ahead of the Hornets, that number 7 spot. So as of today, Celtics, Hornets, Pacers, Wizards would be in that spot. And then if you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, you can also find the Washington Wizards. If they are going to make the playoffs, you have yes at plus 164, no at minus 205. So again, we always talk about this here on the early line. Look at all the markets and take into account where odds makers believe that they are going to be able to find some of those edges against bettors. It seems that they don't think that the Washington Wizards, despite how great of a win this was, are going to be able to kind of get that win and get into the playoff after playing in the play-in round. Now, as for the Pacers, they have Domantas Sabonis back. Last night, he had 32 points, 20 rebounds. Caris LeVert, 33 points. 8 players for the Pacers in double digits, but the Pacers, to me, don't seem to be a threat as much as the Washington Wizards. Like I said, absolutely heating up. They've won 11 of the last 13 games. I mean, how much more impressive could you get that, especially with Russell Westbrook? I mean, 14 points, 21 rebounds, 24 assists. Washington gaining ground, like I mentioned, in the East. But obviously, we know, Kev, in general, the East is one of those divisions, or excuse me, conference that we're going to be able to kind of, we know who the 76ers have that number 1 spot. We know the Nets are in that number 2 spot. 76ers one game ahead. Then you have the Bucks kind of on an island by themselves, 37-28. Hawks, 36-30 in that number 5 spot. Trae Young was back last night, and that's something we'll definitely be talking about. And then the Heat, 35-31, games ahead of the Celtics. So it's going to be interesting to see who plays in that play-in round. And I know a lot of these teams are really needing those extra wins. And yesterday I thought it was interesting, LeBron James coming out talking about how he didn't like the play-in round in the format for everything, which was interesting because he was getting on the cusp of that. But just in general, Kev, I was just wondering, in terms of the Eastern Conference standings, Do you see the Wizards or Pacers being better?
Yeah, I think right now you have to edge the Wizards. They're playing much better basketball than Indiana. Seemingly, they are the healthier team. The Wizards have won 8 of their last 10. Just go over the last 10 games. The Pacers have only won 4 of their last 10. Half game separating these two squads right now. And I look at this game, and this was the other surprising thing about it. I mean, if you're Indiana, you are going to tell me that you're hopeless against Washington or that you didn't care. Because those are really the only two ways you justify giving up a $1.54 in regulation in a game that has playoff implications like this one did. Either you didn't care or you're hopeless. I don't know which one is worse, but right now I would have to give the edge to Washington.
And again, just for Washington to make the playoffs, yes, plus 164, no, minus 205 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Another game that happened last night, we have the Warriors versus the Pelicans. Now, Golden State has 8 games left in the regular season, 3 of them, like I mentioned yesterday, against the Pelicans. So that was their first game played. Golden State wins 123-108. These two teams are going to play each other again tonight. But Steph Curry, I mean, he is just, some of these games, you're just like, how does he do this? 41 points, 8 three-pointers, scoring 15 of his 41 in that crucial third quarter. But this was a good win for Golden State.
Yeah, you look at some of the numbers for Steph, and they are very similar to his unanimous MVP season. He is really carrying this Golden State team in a way that some of us have wanted to see. We've all known that Steph Curry was a tremendous player. For years, one of the three best that the NBA had to offer. I think at times people saying that he was the best player in the league was ridiculous. He's never been better than LeBron, but he's always been one of the greats. But one of the questions people had was about Steph being able to carry a team, not lead a team, carry a team. And this year has had those mixed results. This win against New Orleans puts them the one game over 500. I know there's some underlying numbers that without Oubre and James Wiseman, they look like one of the best teams in the NBA. And a lot of that has to do with just how darn good Steph Curry's playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came out immediately, you know, set those rims on fire, the Marvel Arena game, the little, you know, fire that they kind of had coming out of the ball as Steph was shooting it. Very appropriate. I mean, he made 8 threes, scored 41 points, and you're hardly surprised by it.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with you. And then they're sitting, the Warriors, in the number 8 spot in the Western Conference, 3 games behind the Trailblazers, who are in 7th, and then you have the Grizzlies just 1 game behind them in 9th. Now, in the FanDuel Sportsbook, for the Warriors to make the playoffs after, of course, any possible play-in tournament has concluded, minus 110, yes and no. So we're at basically even money here. So do you think that this is a bet you would want to take compared to some of the other teams mm-hmm. who are at, I mean, we just mentioned the Washington Wizards, obviously not favored mm-hmm. to go into the playoffs?
Yeah, so if Golden State is able to hold on to an 8 spot, you then become intrigued by the yes because, well, you have 2 cracks at it. But for me, I still think a team like Golden State, I'd rather go game to game. Whether they're the 8 is important, but I don't know if they're going to be favored over any potential 7 seed, Lakers, Mavericks, Blazers. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I think I want to try to play the matchups here with GSW and see where they land.
Stay with us here on the RIA line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Continuing with our NBA recap, one of the big games last night, Nuggets versus the Lakers. Lakers win 93-89, cover the spread, under hits. LeBron was not in this game. He was sitting to rest his sore ankle still, and the Lakers also were on a back-to-back. So this was a very impressive win for them. I asked you this, Kev, at the beginning of the show, because I know you are a Lakers fan, are they back?
Yeah, I mean, come on, look, here's the thing, right? You try not to get too excited about one result. But what in the world did this team, you know, what business did they have winning this game? They were, you know, playing probably their worst basketball of the season. They were at their lowest point of the season. They were on the second leg of a back-to-back. The Nuggets were red hot. No LeBron, no Dennis Schroeder. Dogs as they should be, and they get the job done. And they almost blew it because they were up at one point by almost 15, I believe, if not more. And they almost blew it. The offense completely evaporated, but they closed the door, and they closed the door behind Anthony Davis. And that was very important because, yes, the LeBron health is the biggest question around this team, but that question – you kind of got to deal with. There's a lot of teams that we're battling health issues, right?
Yeah.
Kawhi, Embiid, Giannis, Durant / Harden, Donovan Mitchell. That's kind of the case throughout this league. Mm-hmm. The other question for the Lakers is Anthony Davis all right? And that's not just a health question. AD was not playing the basketball that we were anticipating pre-injury. He started to just figure it out right before that Denver game. He had back-to-back 30-point games, looked like he was well on his way in that meeting with Denver, and then got injured. Well, this was the best version of Anthony Davis that we've seen, Erin, since his return. Both sides of the floor, that's the encouraging sign above anything else from the LA Lakers.
Yep. And he led the Lakers 25 points, 7 boards. And what I wanted to ask you about, obviously, with Nikola Jokic being one of those big guys who hasn't been injured, he posted 32 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists last night. So he didn't really have an off game. I mean, I know the Lakers didn't shoot well behind the three-point line, just 25%, 6 of 24. So do you think that the Nuggets had it in them to have those pieces around Nikola Jokic?
So I think there's a couple of things. Jokic, as you said, still a tremendous game. The shots this guy makes is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But 12 of 28 for him, especially on the year, is a poor shooting night. In fact, two of his five worst shooting performances of this season have come against these Los Angeles Lakers. I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think you look around him. Michael Porter Jr., 8 of 15, really figured it out in the second half, scored 19 points. But yet, JaVale McGee was the second or the third leading scorer on the team with 10 points. I mean, they scored 89. The Lakers' defense looked back. They looked all the way back. And I think here's the troubling thing for the Nuggets if they end up in a series with the Los Angeles Lakers. Nikola Jokic is going to win MVP. I think we have all kind of come to terms with that. He's going to win MVP. He's been the best big man in the NBA. The Lakers and the Nuggets meet in a series. Are you positive that the Denver Nuggets have the best, not player in the series, because we know the answer is no. Are we sure that they have the best big man in the series? Because Anthony Davis outplayed Jokic last year, and Anthony Davis and I would say Jokic played about even in this game. And even if AD can draw level with Nikola Jokic, it then leads Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon and these other guys needing to answer the bell in a way that I'm not really sure that they can.
Yeah, and I feel like it all comes back to health and availability. And honestly, at this point, it seems like come the playoffs, we're just going to have to take these players game by game instead of thinking, okay, they're healthy and ready to go, just as we've seen with a lot of players that we expected to be back and ready, such as even LeBron, for instance. So we'll have to do those matchups as we get there and kind of see what the health and availability is. But let's continue with our NBA recap. Trailblazers versus the Hawks. Atlanta wins 123-114. Trae Young is back. That's why I wanted to talk about this game. 21 points, 11 assists in 35 minutes of action. Also just wanted to mention Carmelo Anthony is now the 10th all-time leading scorer in the NBA with 14 points that he posted last night. But how did you think Trae Young looked last night?
Yeah, you know, Trae was all right. Not as efficient as you would like. 1 of 6 from beyond the arc, 6 of 16 from the floor. But he was diming as you anticipate. And multiple teammates of his with 7 made threes. Bogdanovich and Gallo both knocking down 7 triples. I mean, you get performances like that, you're going to put yourself, give yourself a pretty good opportunity to go out there and win a game. I mean, as a team, they shot well above 50% if you remove Trae Young's off night. And I look at this Atlanta team, and I look at this box score, I look at these performances, and this is what people were kind of expecting when they had their big splashy offseason. Got Bogdanovich after Milwaukee fumbled that situation. Brought Gallinari in after his awesome season with Oklahoma City last year. We quietly forget that Lou Will is on this bench. John Collins, Clint Capella, a front court force that can give some of these teams some issues here. Atlanta is a team that's legit. Now, I don't mean that they're legit to win the East. No, they're not. There's only 3 teams, I think, right now you can make a real argument for. But if Atlanta ends up in that 4-5 game with a Knicks, with the Heat, whatever that matchup ends, you know, ends up being, Atlanta is not a opponent that any of these teams are targeting, Aaron.
And the Hawks are in that number 5 spot, just 1 game behind the Knicks, 1 game ahead from the Heat. So make a great point there. Continuing with our recap, those 76ers beating the Bulls 106-94 to finish off the road back-to-back. Pretty quiet night for Embiid, 13 points, 10 boards. Seth Curry leading the 76ers. But Kev, 76ers are holding that number 1 spot right now in the Eastern Conference standings.
Yeah, they sure are. And again, that's the most important thing for Philly. Also, you look at this box score here. This game got close towards the end. All of a sudden, it was a 3-point lead. Look at the plus-minus for the starters. Tobias Harris was a plus 17. That is the worst plus-minus that the starters had. Embiid plus 29, Ben plus 29. Their starting unit dominated the Chicago Bulls in a way that you should. If we just quickly, and we have this opportunity now because there's so few games left, you look at the rest of the schedule for Philadelphia. At Houston, home versus New Orleans, home versus Detroit, at Indiana, at Miami, and then they finish with 2 home games against Orlando. I mean, Aaron, they're going to be sizable favorites in all but one of these games, and that's at Miami. I mean, it is very live that the Sixers win out. And if they win out, they are the one seed. And if they only lose one more game, I think then they are still set to be the one seed. So they control their own destiny, and the schedule shines on them and will give them an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, and speaking of schedule, the Knicks last night playing the Grizzlies, winning as the underdog 118-104. Total is a push if you took it at 222. Now, this is the first winning season for the Knicks since 2012-13. Just also want to mention the Knicks were on a back-to-back, 23-5 against the spread in their last 28 games against the team with a losing record, 7-0 against the spread in their last 7 road games. But, Kev, I know the Knicks, their schedule can be a little tough coming up.
Oh, it absolutely can. And a big credit to our guy James Young yesterday, who jumped on with us here on the early line, talking about the Knicks coming into this Memphis game, maybe a little extra motivation, knowing what lies ahead. And I feel like you saw that on these players. That desperation was there, that motivation was there, and the elation was there after the victory. Thibodeau was overjoyed when his men finished off this game. They ended up pulling away big time there, winning by 14. A little messy of a finish for the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant was ejected. Jenkins, the head coach, was ejected. But if you're the New York Knicks now, you look at this upcoming schedule. At the Denver Nuggets, who are off of a loss, by the way. At the Phoenix Suns. Oh, that's never easy. At the LA Clippers. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. At the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, what is this? What is this? As brutal of a four-game stretch as we have seen the NBA schedule have to offer. And again, that's why I give, you know, James Young some credit there, because the Knicks played like a team that knew they needed to take that game off of Memphis to make sure they couldn't walk in to this four-game trip here and possibly suffer five straight L's.
And speaking of the Memphis Grizzlies, they're in that number nine spot in the Western Conference standings, with the Spurs behind them at number 10. Spurs, another bad loss for them. Utah beating them 110-99. They were on a back-to-back after playing the 76ers. They lost that game in overtime, but did end up covering the spread in that one. But for the Memphis Grizzlies, we're not really talking much about them. They're obviously 32-32, holding that number nine spot. Do you think they have any shot of, you know, doing well in this play-in round?
Okay, so you're making a point. We haven't talked a lot about Memphis, except I feel like just last week we were talking about them jumping the Portland Trailblazers, maybe occupying the seventh spot in the Western Conference. Now, I know Portland got hot, but Memphis also went cold at the wrong time and have now found themselves jumped by the Golden State Warriors here in the Western Conference play-in. And if you're Memphis, you'll probably start to have a little bit of nightmares on how things went last year. They entered the bubble, decent lead in the eighth seed in the Western Conference. But injuries and, you know, a tougher schedule saw them have to beat the Portland Trailblazers multiple times if they were going to get in. They weren't even able to beat them once. And here Memphis is again, heading to the play-in. They're going to have to beat the San Antonio Spurs if the current seeding holds true. And then would need to beat the loser of a Portland Golden State game. Tough task for Memphis.
Very, very tough. And our last little bullet point here, the Magic versus the Pistons. Magic win 119-112. We said here on the early line that this was an overs game, and it surely...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We want to talk about some Major League Baseball. So yesterday, favorites went 6-2 with the only upsets by the Phillies and Orioles. Overs went 5-3. We're going to kick it off with the Mets versus the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals win 6-5 for their fifth straight win, but a lot of things happened in this game, Kev. I mean, the Cardinals had a one-run lead in the ninth with two outs and a runner on base when the lights at Busch Stadium flickered, then went out for a moment. Then the Mets also fired their hitting coaches just 23 games into the season. I mean, was this justified, in your opinion, that the Mets did that, for firing their hitting coaches?
I don't know. In a way, you think, you see it. They really have struggled at the plate. You go through the lineup right now, not a 300 hitter in there. Pete Alonso's up to 282, which is nice. But Conforto had a stretch of baseball where it was awful. McNeil right now still struggling. It just doesn't seem like anybody's game is being elevated. Dom Smith hitting 222. But as we pointed out in our top headlines, I think a lot of this has to do with Francisco Lindor, who's now on an 0-for-24 stretch, has not had a hit in their last five full games, and is batting 163 on the season. And Lindor is supposed to be this team's best player, at least, obviously, from a hitting perspective. Jacob deGrom is Jacob deGrom. And they're not getting that type of production out of Francisco Lindor. He's had multiple times at the plate an opportunity. This could be the moment. This could be the moment. And it seems like you're up there just hoping he gets thrown four balls, because he's not going to put a ball in play. He's just not going to get a base hit. That's where he's at right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with this decision being made. Mets fans have been very critical of Francisco Lindor, and in my opinion, rightfully so. You bring up the amount of money that he makes, not out of jealousy or disdain. No, Lindor's worth his money. But those contracts come with expectations. Francisco Lindor is supposed to play like a top 15 player in Major League Baseball. We know he has the potential to do as much, but he's been awful. And Mets fans are letting him know that he's been awful. I'm sure he knows that himself, but he's got to work through it. And I know that this always comes with this negative New York fans or too negative connotation. I just think they care. Mets fans care. Mets fans are excited about this season. They were promised a big year. And now Francisco Lindor, who's a big part of that promise, is going to have to right this ship. And I think, Aaron, ultimately that's how we find out and land on the hitting coaches being fired.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes a lot of sense from everything that you just said. And the Mets are still the favorites to win the NL East. But like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Braves are kind of creeping up there with the Phillies then behind them. But the Mets and Cardinals are going to face off again today. The Mets minus 198 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook with Jacob deGrom on the mound. The total at 6.5 runs. Do you think the Mets can bounce back? I mean, when you see a name like Jacob deGrom going on the mound, you always want to take the Mets. It seems like that's your instinct almost. But sometimes it seems like this Mets team cannot win when Jacob deGrom is on the mound.
They can't. It's disgusting. Also, I think we're at a point now where the totals are probably starting to reflect the unfortunate reality that they just don't hit when this guy plays. So far on the season, they have been held scoreless multiple times with him taking the mound. He's only had five starts. I mean, it's incredible that this guy has two losses on the season and is yet only allowed two earned runs. It is otherworldly that this guy does not own a 5-0 record to start this season or whatever it might be, or at least a 4-0 record, something along those lines. You look at the team right now, I don't know how anybody lays a minus 198 on Jacob deGrom. Not with the way things have gone for the Mets when he's on the mound. I think I'd rather try to back him in a K-props department if possible. Last game, actually, getting 9 strikeouts, and it's funny, only 9 strikeouts, but that's the way things have been for deGrom. Maybe if you get a 9.5, could you come back around for a double-digit performance from him? Maybe that's how I'd look at it.
Yeah, that seems to be the better way to play when Jacob deGrom is on the mound. Let's also talk about another series that happened yesterday in the game that's on the board. Brewers-Phillies. So game one result, we had the Phillies winning 4-3 with 4 combined runs in the first and second inning. That was Hector Neris, who needed 40 pitches to make sure the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen didn't blow another lead.
Yeah, that's the big concern, I think, right now for Phils fans, is this bullpen seems to be back. Except we say the Lakers are back, it has a positive connotation. We say the Phillies bullpen is back, and that doesn't mean the same thing. It was off to a great start. I don't know what was there for them against Atlanta, that opening series of this season, but it's all gone. The confidence is just not there from this group. And I think right now, look, you can look at this game, Aaron Nola on the bump here. You lean towards the Phils, but I'd look to target this game live. Let Aaron Nola get removed from this game and try and see if you can get a Brewers team total over live, because right now you want a piece of this Phillies bullpen by trying to fade him.
Mm-hmm. And right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Phillies -178 on the money line for today with a total at 8. Now, there's two important injuries that we wanted to talk about this morning. One being Dustin Semeh. He's having Tommy John surgery, and then a player on the White Sox. He's obviously a star, Louis Robert. So just overall, Kev, any big takeaways from this and how they're going to impact the teams?
Yeah, so a couple, as you mentioned, a couple of big injuries here. Dustin May out for the season, Tommy John surgery. Always hate to see this when it comes with these star pitchers. The one thing is, for this Dodgers team, they still have all of the arms that you would ever need to go out there and win a World Series. They're still the favorites, as they should be. And, of course, in their division, the NL West, -400. It's a mammoth number. I'd never lay it. But if you laid it before the season, I don't think the Dustin May injury is going to shake you to your core. You're probably still happy that you've made a play. As far as the White Sox go, this is now the second big injury that this team is going to be facing. Louis Robert going to be missing a couple of months now here. 3 to 4 months they're likely going to be without Louis Robert. And they're already without Eloy Jimenez, another one of their young superstars, and he was didn't make any debut this season, and was going to be missing 5 or 6 months. Eloy Jimenez. What I think now you want to do with the White Sox is keep them circled. Their odds to perhaps win the American League right now, second choice +450. Odds to win the World Series at around 12 to 1. Checking in as the fifth option on the board. See if those start to fall. As long as they stay in the hunt, if you could jump on this team, though, when they're getting perhaps a Louis Robert and an Eloy Jimenez back, to add, of course, to Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson, I think that would be interesting, Aaron. But obviously now, a couple of big injuries here for the White Sox.
Yep. So let's talk about some of the games that are on the board today, starting off with the Dodgers versus the Cubs. This will be a doubleheader because game one was postponed due to the forecast. So we're going to have first seven-inning games starting at 1:20 p.m. Eastern. But right now in FanDuel Sportsbook, we don't have odds up for either of these games that are going to be for the doubleheader. But the Cubs right-hander Kyle Hendricks is expected to take the mound in game one of today. Cubs, of course, sitting in the bottom of the NL Central, 12-16 record. Now the Dodgers, in their last outing, they were almost swept by the Brewers, but they were able to pull off not a sweep with their game four win. How do you think this Dodgers team is going to play against the Cubs?
So Kyle Hendricks right now is a mess. Unless it's just Atlanta. If you look at two of his last three starts against Atlanta, when four innings, gave up 7 hits, 7 earned runs, and 4 homers. In between, he had a Milwaukee start, 6 innings of work, only gave up 2 runs. It was a couple of solo shots there. But then he went out against Atlanta again, 11 hits in 3 2/3 innings, another 7 earned runs and 3 homers. I think the Dodgers are going to be pretty big favorites if the books are done with Kyle Hendricks, the way Kyle Hendricks has started this season. I'll also add, Aaron, really interested in the second game of this doubleheader. Trevor Bauer on the mound. I fully anticipate that he is going to try and throw a complete game, and that will then have me interested in his strikeout prop. Strikeout props, the big things is you want those innings. You want a guy to be out there for as long as possible. So, yes, with a 7-inning doubleheader, we don't have the opportunity to get innings 8 or 9, but you aren't supposed to try to rely on what we saw Max Scherzer do the other day. You're trying to, you know, get this done as soon as possible, but I anticipate Bauer going, at least if he has it working, he's going to try to go 7 full innings against the Cubs team that strikes out a bunch.
And there's 17 games on the board today, including that doubleheader. Now, another one that I wanted to ask you about, Kev, the Astros versus the Yankees. So the Astros are going to visit the Bronx for the first time since the cheating scandal. So, Kev, as a Yankees fan, I'm genuinely curious, what do you expect from this Yankees crowd?
I hope they are ruthless. Obviously, you want everyone to stay safe. I hope that every Astros batter hears it. I hope they feel uncomfortable because they don't deserve to feel comfortable in that building. Quite frankly, it's a disgrace that most of them get to step foot into Yankee Stadium. Their punishment was a joke. We all know it was. Everybody outside of Houston Astros fans can admit it. They're hated in this sport, and they deserve to be hated. And nobody more than Yankees or Dodgers fans hates this Astros team more. Dodgers fans think they took a World Series off of them. Yankees thinks that they took multiple trips to the World Series off of them, and who knows what would have come from that. The last time these teams played, Game 7 of an ALCS, and a game that was tied in the top of the ninth by a DJ LeMahieu home run, quickly turned into a walk-off homer from Jose Altuve. Except, obviously, Altuve cheated, has a buzzer on his arm. He knew it in the moment. And these guys are pieces of garbage. I mean, they just don't belong in the sport. So I hope the Yankees run him out of the building. I always told myself I was going to make sure I attended that first game that they showed up. Obviously, the pandemic had some other plans. Mm-hmm. So I won't be in attendance. But again, I hope that they're absolutely ruthless. I hope the Astros get tanked. I hope they're uncomfortable. I hope they call the game. I hope they ask for a forfeit. And I think Zach Greinke going on the mound tonight has me thinking that that's certainly possible. Zach Greinke's been absolutely awful in his career in Yankee Stadium. 27 and two-thirds innings pitched in his career in Yankee Stadium. He's allowed 26 runs in that span, good for an 8.60 ERA. And it is going to be rocking in that building. I think Greinke's uncomfortable. I think the Yankees hit him early and often, and I expect the Yanks to get the job done. And quite frankly, Aaron, they better get the job done.
It's crazy to think that somebody had a buzzer on them and thought they were going to get away with it, and eventually that just wasn't going to come out. I mean, winning at all costs, literally. Quite literally for the Astros, but just again, the Yankees minus 130 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with the total at 9. It'll be interesting to see how this game pans out. We know the Yankees crowd is going to be rocking. You know the Astros are ready to take whatever is going to come their way. I mean, everybody's kind of waiting for this matchup to see how it goes. So stay with us here on the Early Line. We are going to be back right after the break to give you our hero of the night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Tuesday to all our viewers and listeners. It is now time to get to our hero of the night.
I believe the saying goes, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, in Golden State versus New Orleans, perhaps the Early Line inspired an entire broadcast from ESPN, their Arena of Heroes sponsored by Marvel broadcast there. I actually watched it. I didn't mind it. I know a lot of people thought it was quite corny, but I enjoyed it. But they kept tallying up all game long hero points. All game long, right? And you could see it was going to be a battle between Steph Curry and Draymond Green. You got points for when you would score, a rebound, a steal. You'd lose some points for turnovers and missed shots. And when it was all said and done, their hero of the night is now our hero of the night. And that's Draymond Green, who led this game with 48 hero points. I mean, look, if you're going to lead a game in hero points, I have but no choice to make you the hero of the night, and he was quite deserving. 10 points, 15 assists, 13 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, did it all across the board. I think his final assist of the night is what saw him push in front of Steph, who I saw people joking, can't win a finals MVP, can't win a Marvel Arena Hero champion. I thought that was quite hilarious. All in all, though, a great performance from Draymond Green, a cool little spin on the game from ESPN, yep, and Hero of the Night honors for Draymond Green.
Love it. Draymond Green with a triple-double. All right, guys, you have this here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to do our 7-7 top headlines.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.